Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Bossier, Louisiana, and earned a BA degree in radio, TV, and film production from the University of North Texas. He's an inspirational speaker who was born with no arms and shortened legs, and he's the author of I'm Not Broken, You Don't Need Arms to Be Happy. He believes that with God, we are all complete. His name, Chet McDaniel, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Chet McDaniel, the author of I'm Not Broken, You Don't Need Arms to Be Happy. Chet, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and the day you were born?
Yeah. In 1979, when my mom was pregnant with me, they didn't do sonograms unless they thought there was a problem. And not only did the doctors not think there was anything wrong, my mom will tell you that it was the easiest of the three pregnancies she had. I have an older brother and a sister. And so on January 5th, 1980, my mom went into labor. I was coming out backwards. I was coming breech, and the doctor didn't think it was going to be a problem. But he didn't know that I didn't have arms. And so when I started to come out feet first, by the time she pushed my shoulders out, she closed in around my neck. And had it not been for a very heroic save by the obstetrician, I would be not here and neither would my mom. It was that serious of a moment. My birth shocked both my parents. They will tell you that it was devastating, that it was something that was very difficult to deal with and became a quite a problem early on. Of course, now 30 years later, it's quite a bit better, of course, but at that moment they were devastated.
I believe the doctor said, Judy, what we have here are some congenital anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after you were born, your dad told your mom, quote, he has all he needs for heaven.
Yeah, that was a line that a few days afterwards, my mom was crying and couldn't stop crying. And my dad was searching for anything to help her, anything he could say or anything he could do. And he said that he may not have all he needs for this life, but he has all he needs to get to heaven. And my mom stopped crying. And my dad jokes and says that, so he said it a lot, all over the house and all the time.
It's obvious your mom and dad are special people.
I believe so.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from each of them, Chet?
They taught me from a very young age. As early as I can remember them saying, you're no different than anyone else. You have dreams. You have goals. You have desires. Those are yours. And you're nothing. There's nothing different about you. Obviously, there is something different physically. But being told that over and over again gave me the spirit and the attitude of I can conquer anything. And so I think that was probably the greatest lesson. I mean, there were many lessons along the way, but I think that the greatest one from both of them was encouragement to do whatever I wanted and to not let anything hold me back.
While you were hearing that from mom and dad, from fellow kids, they were bullying you, mocking you, strange looks. How did you get the courage and the confidence to stand up to that?
You know, in elementary school, excuse me, kids don't really notice anything different. You know, there's nothing about that they realize in terms of a worldview. But when we got to middle school, junior high, that's when the problems began. There were kids that were mean physically, wanted to pick fights, and I always was brave and stood up to them because my dad had always told me if anybody ever touches you or tries to hit you or does anything to you, you use your wheelchair as a weapon to defend yourself. And that kind of got the physical things out of the way. I mean, in terms of the bullies that wanted to fight didn't want to fight anymore when they realized that I could really hurt them with the chair, which weighed 400 pounds. What was a lot harder for me was the kids who didn't want to fight. They just wanted to call names and use words to hurt and use their friends' laughter and things like that. And ultimately, it was a strong relationship with God, a strong relationship with my parents, the ability to tell them things that happened, to get support from them. There were some dark days. There were times that I didn't want to live anymore because of what was going on at school. And I can relate to what's going on in our nation today, what's being talked about. However, I think that support system was crucial in getting past the bullies, realizing that they weren't going to be forever, that life does change, that they do mature. Several of them even, and one in particular that I'm thinking of, came and apologized to me in high school. And so it was just a matter of support, somebody to lean on to get through those times. And those times are when I also developed a sense of humor and wit. I learned that if I could fire back at the bullies as fast as they could fire at me, that it was less about me and they didn't want to bully anymore when I wouldn't just lie down and take it.
Chet, if God came down and talked to you and said, Chet, I'll give you your arms and legs if you wish, what would you tell him?
Of course, he's God. And so if he wanted to do that, I would not stand in his way. But I believe that he knows as well as I do that I don't need arms to be happy. I don't need arms to praise him. I don't need arms to serve him. And I believe that's why we're here, is to glorify God. And if you don't need arms to glorify God, then he has no motive or incentive to give those arms. And I don't need them either, simply because 30 years in a body without arms, I've learned to get along in life however I need to. And I strongly believe that God can do whatever he wants. But I think that people and outside of this situation look in and see something broken that needs to be fixed, whereas God sees something that he can use. And I think that's where the line is drawn. And if he were to come down and offer him to me, I don't know that I would refuse because he's God. But I firmly believe that he and I have an understanding that those aren't needed.
We're talking to Chet McDaniel, a real success story. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're with Chet McDaniel, who says, quote, "With God, I am complete." What do you mean by that, Chet?
I was mentioning a minute ago, there's a sense, there's an attitude in the world today that when people who are without disability see someone with a disability, that the automatic thought is a sense of brokenness or a sense of being incomplete. Doctors throughout my life have tried to make me look and function like other people. When I was younger, they gave me prosthetic arms to work with and prosthetic legs, and all they did was slow me down. I can remember hating the times when I practiced with them just because they were so cumbersome and so hot, and I could do things so much faster with my feet. Yet that pervasiveness of you've got to look like everybody else, you've got to function like everybody else, because if you don't, then you're incomplete. And what I like to say is that with God, I am complete. There's nothing missing here in his eyes, and that's the only person I need to be concerned about. That's the only thing I need to worry about is how God sees me, and God sees me as a complete child in his image. and the fact that, that I can serve him no matter what, so that I'm not really concerned about what the world sees. I'm concerned with God and what he wants.
What do you say, Chet, to somebody that says, I don't know why God did this to me?
I think we have to be careful in terms of how we view God. I think that's an excellent question because it comes up all the time. You hear it on the news. I hear it when I go to different speaking events. That idea that God actually reaches down and causes bad things to happen, I can't find in Scripture. I can't find where that would be justified. All we see through Scripture is a loving God and a merciful God and a God who gives grace. And even various scriptures about that, one in particular, that all things work for good. It's not that all things are good for people who follow him, but all things bad and good work for the glory of God, for those who are with him, who are trusting him. James chapter 1 says, let no man say when he is tempted that God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt anyone. But each man by his own desire gives way to sin, and sin gives birth to death. That's very much a paraphrase there. But the next line, the next verse, I believe that's 16, is don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. In other words, there are two separate directions. The bad things that happen ultimately because we live in a fallen world that is away from God. And there are bad things, but that God doesn't cause those bad things. Those bad things ultimately come from a corrupted world, man's desires, something that he corrupted, that man corrupted of God's creation. On the other side of that is good and perfect things coming from above. And I believe that that's where we can give credit and glory to God when bad situations that we think are terrible and there's no way out of, that he helps us and he gives us a way. That's when we can turn and say, instead of why did God do this to me, we can say, thank you, God, for helping me in this situation. And I'm no holds, no bones about it. Very clearly, God did not cause this to happen to me, but God is the reason that I'm still alive because of that support and that person to lean on.
Your dad, Jim McDaniel, who travels with you as you do these inspirational talks all over America, he says that Chet has made us more complete people. In the same vein, as I meet couples or families that have been blessed by special needs children, they refer to these children as angels, heroes, inspiration, teacher, gift from God. How do you explain that, Chet McDaniel?
I think it goes back to that different view. I think that, well, just in my own life, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and when my wife was pregnant with her, I wanted a perfect child. You know, I wanted what every parent wants. And she is perfect. she is a delight and has full arms and full legs and is almost about to be taller than me. I stand about 4 foot tall, and I think she is at least over 3 feet tall at 2 years old. She's growing so fast. When you're faced with a situation of an imperfect child, an imperfect dream, let's say, you're forced to study. You're forced to grow deeper. You're forced to mature because this is how life is going to be from now on. And so my dad will tell you that he had a view of where God wasn't suffering until I came along, and that sent him back. He now has a doctorate of ministry, but that sent him back studying, saying that can't be right. What he had believed couldn't be right because of the pain he felt. And so that kind of growth, that kind of maturing, and there's also just experiences and things that come along with having a disability that nobody else experiences. And I think that those cause us to grow deeper and to become a more complete family, and also grows our perceptions on the world.
Many people pray for a miracle. Chet McDaniel, what is a miracle?
I define the word miracle as something that is out of this realm, something that we wouldn't expect out of nature, science, that kind of thing. In other words, people often talk about the miracle of birth. Birth is amazing. What goes on inside the womb is amazing. There are so many things that have to happen for a child to come out. That's just amazing. But God set that up. And as miraculous as it may look to us, that's a very natural process. On the other hand, if there were to be a flash of light and I were to have arms, that would be something that would be out of this realm, would be something that we couldn't explain any other way. I'm very careful with the word miracle. I believe that God is God. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. And that sometimes things happen and we can't explain them. And if he is doing them, then praise God. But I don't ask for a miracle. And there's actually one person who sticks out in my mind who actually said to me, she had a son with some disabilities, and she was praying for a miracle for her son. And what she said to me was, when I get my miracle for my son, I'll pray for yours. And I found it very highly offensive, because that was assumed that I needed arms, that I needed a miracle, which isn't true. There's no need to change this. There's nothing broken about me.
Did you say anything to that mom?
She said it, and then she walked away, and I was so dumbfounded. One of those moments where you wish you had the right words, and they come to you about 30 seconds too late. So she had already walked away. But I would love to get the opportunity to tell her and to tell anybody else who is. The problem there was that she was spending her entire life waiting on that miracle. Instead of enjoying her son. And there was so much to enjoy. There was so much to grow from. But instead she was saying, it has to change, it has to change, it has to change. And in the meantime, it wasn't changing. And we've got to be careful again in terms of what we attribute to God. Because in that situation, it would be very easy to doubt God, saying, you're not fixing this. Whereas God sees a complete person in spirit and no need to fix what humans think are broken.
We're talking to Chet McDaniel, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Chet McDaniel, inspirational speaker who was born with no arms and shortened legs. Chet, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. What are you most thankful, grateful for?
I am thankful for my family. I am deeply thankful for my wife and daughter. My wife is an amazing woman who chose to be married to someone with a disability. I joke with my family, my parents and my brother and sister, that they didn't have a choice. They had to love me. whereas that choice that she made, it still deeply moves me today. I'm thankful for a two-year-old who knows no difference and then thinks that everybody's dad doesn't have arms because that's what's normal to her. And I absolutely love her spirit and how she responds to me and how much fun we have together, and thankful for a family that raised me and still supports me today. You mentioned my dad, and I go out and speak all over the country. There are some times when it's just me on stage, but he still travels along and is so supportive of what I'm trying to do and what we're out there trying to get the message out about. So I would say that family, and then, of course, thankful for a Savior.
If you want to learn more about Chet, his message, his books, etc., www.chetmcdoniel.com. chetmcdoniel.com. Chet, you talk a lot about praising God. How does someone praise God?
I think you praise God by the life you live. Of course, there are corporate worship times, and I spent a year or so as a worship minister in Irving, Texas, and enjoyed that time, and still would be something that I do occasionally in different churches that we go to, so that there is a that sense of worship and praise and song in a service and prayer. But beyond the corporate time, once a week, twice a week, however often we get the chance, then we also have how we spend our lives. And I firmly believe that we praise God and we glorify God when not only when we make the right choices, but when we make the right choices with the right attitude. In other words, going around life grumbling and complaining, even if you live a perfect life, sinless life, if you're still grumpy and complaining, I don't think you get the message across, and I don't think that glorifies God. I think that a Christian, in order to glorify God, has to have a positive attitude in all that they do, because that's what will draw other people in.
Your latest book, I'm Not Broken, You Don't Need Arms to Be Happy, chapter 8 is Adjust Your Priorities, Invest Yourself in Others. That's not the standard message we hear today. Talk to us about adjust your priorities, invest yourself in others.
I think that when we focus on ourselves, when we focus on careers, when we focus on things we don't have, that can be a very negative feeling. When I focus on my handicap, on my disability, when I dwell on it, which is not often, but when I'm having a bad day and I dwell on it, I can get depressed very, very quickly. Not everybody has a physical disability, but there's something holding everyone back from their dreams and their goals, whether it is a disability or an illness or money or job or whatever. If we choose instead to focus on other people, actually physically serving, emotionally serving, being there to support other people, when we invest ourselves in other people's lives and to better them and to help them, then that takes away the focus on our problems. And very often what I find is that when I'm focused on someone else and helping someone else, then my attitude, my emotion is happiness because I'm doing what God asked me to do. And I think there is an innate sense of feeling good about helping other people. And so when you pull your focus off of yourself, there's less likely of a chance of falling into that trap of saying, oh, poor me, oh, why me? If I focused on my handicap, I could sit in the corner of the room and watch life go by, or I can get out there and serve others and have fun. And in the meantime, usually I forget that I'm handicapped.
The book, again, I'm Not Broken, You Don't Need Arms to Be Happy. Define for us broken, and who is broken?
I think that brokenness is all in perception. And ironically, the people that I would consider broken are usually not the people who society would look at and say broken. Most people that I've met with various disabilities who have overcome it are not broken people. In fact, they're the most whole people on the face of the earth because they've gotten past that sense of something is holding me back. Whereas you have very successful people in either career or financially or things like that who are unwhole because there's that one goal that they won't allow themselves to even go after because they don't think they can do it. Or you've got people who aren't successful, who are having jobs that they're miserable in, and what it all comes down to is they don't think they're good enough to get a better job. Or they don't think they're good enough to help fix that marriage, or they don't think they're confident enough to go out there and tackle life. Those are the people that I would consider to be broken. Not unfixable, but broken, because they're letting their roadblocks, they're letting their obstacles shut them down and keep them from achieving their dreams.
As people listen to you, it's obvious that you're at peace with yourself. Chet McDaniel, how do we get that same peace?
first and foremost, a relationship and a dependence on God is crucial for that peace. I've been talking all this time about the difference in how God views me versus the way the world views me. If I did not have God, then I could only focus on how the world views me, and the world views me as unwhole, and I would never be at peace. I think that that is a crucial cornerstone in getting there. And then beyond that, it's the same kind of things of if you don't feel good, if you don't feel good about yourself, if you're not confident, try smiling. Try investing yourself in other people. Try getting out there and just taking a leap. Sometimes it's just a kickstart, and that's all we need. The thing I often envision is you're on a ledge of a very tall cliff, and God is behind you telling you, you can fly. I've given you wings, you can fly. You can fly. You can fly over and over again, that confidence, that support that comes from God, from His Spirit. And sometimes there are people that jump out there and learn they can fly, and they may fall for a minute, but then they can learn that they can fly and really enjoy life. And then there's some of us who God has nudged to the edge and are hanging off the cliff just by our fingers, begging to be pulled back up, to not experience this out of fear, out of lack of confidence, out of lack of self-esteem, and they never get to enjoy life. And that's sad, but there's never a peace there. And sometimes peace comes from stepping out into things that aren't peaceful. But that trust in God, I think, is how you get there. And then it takes time.
We're talking to Chet McDaniel. If you want to learn more, www.chetmcdoniel.com. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Chet McDaniel, who believes that with God, we are all complete. Chet, if there's a listener that, based upon a tragedy, a death, a disease, he or she has decided to disown God or reject God, what do you say to that listener?
One thing that's important to realize is that I think sometimes we fear that if we run from God, then we have no way back, that somehow we burn a bridge. And I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son, or the Bible calls it the story of two sons. And down to the end of the story, as the son who has gone into the far country and spent all of his inheritance and is living a horrible life, this comes to his senses, decides to go back to his father. The Bible says that his father saw him while he was still a long way off. In other words, his father, who is God in the story, was waiting for him to come home. And I think sometimes when we've attributed things to God that are unfair, that we've blamed him for things that are not his to blame, they're not things that he did, that we fear that we can't come back after blaming him or blaspheming or things like that. And God is so big that as his children, we can crawl up on his lap, beat on his chest, challenge him, do whatever we want in terms of out of anger, out of hurt. And he is so big as a father to just wrap his arms around us and hold us tight, just like I do with my two-year-old when she's throwing a tantrum. It's a matter of God being big enough to handle our doubts and our fears. And I wouldn't dare say that I haven't challenged God, even asked why I was made this way. But ultimately, I think it is an idea of God is still sovereign, and he still welcomes you home.
As you travel America and give these inspirational speeches, what do you hear throughout America, and what do you see in the people's eyes?
People don't realize that they're stuck, that they're in a rut. They don't realize that there's more to life than what they're doing, than how they're living it. And it's fascinating to watch as people come in and not necessarily know what to expect of what I'm going to say. I've done religious presentations, corporate presentations, even some presentations to governmental offices. And what is really fun to watch is the light bulb moment, where it's not necessarily the overall talk, but one little tidbit that they pick up on, and you see them kind of raise their heads and their eyes open real big. And that's a joy to me, to see people grasp an idea and hopefully run with it. And the stories that I hear afterwards of how people were helped, what people are going to change, what they learned, things like that. It's a joy for me to hear. And even all the way as deep as one young man who waited until everyone else had talked to me after I was done speaking at a local theater. And he sat down and told me that he wanted to kill himself. And I think we sat there for a good hour and a half after it was over, just talking and trying to find something that he could take joy in. That kind of thing, being able to help, is the whole reason that I want to do this.
What do you say to a person who says, I'll focus on God when I'm 70, 75 years old, Chet? I don't have time for this right now.
I would say that you're missing out on what life is intended, on what God intended for us to do. There have been times in my life where I've lived for myself and only for myself. That's so empty. It's an endless chase of desires, of passions, of what we think will make us happy. And it's empty, and it's lonely, and it's defeating. And I would say, if you're waiting till the end of your life to focus on God, realize that if you do it now, that life, the next 70 years, or how many ever years, or maybe the next even hour, you don't know when your time is going to be up. But that time that you spend with God will be totally worth whatever you think you're giving up. I don't believe Christianity is a set of rules and a bunch of things that we have to give up. I think it's a bunch of things that we get to receive and get to give, and it's such a different lifestyle. And I believe firmly that it's the only way to live. And so I don't think God would frown in terms of someone who truly accepted him at an old age. In fact, I think that's some of the most amazing faith stories. But if you're considering it and just saying, I'm going to put it off till later, realize that, A, there may not be a later, but B, you're missing out on so much.
What do you say to a listener who's pregnant and is contemplating abortion tonight?
That I believe that each and every person has got to be given the opportunity to enjoy life, to be a child of God. My parents weren't shown a sonogram, and even if they were, my dad's been a minister his whole life, my mom's a very firm believer, there would have been no way that they would have even thought about abortion. And if my own child or children that we have in the future, if there's something wrong that we see on the sonogram, we wouldn't even consider it. And it's so sad to me that someone would see a picture that's sometimes inaccurate, for one thing, but to see a picture and to hear a doctor say this child is not going to have a good life based on the picture that we're seeing, and to terminate that, I think you're playing God, and I think we don't have any business playing God. And there's so many people that we're missing out on in our society. Just as we talked about earlier of a child with a disability making a family more whole or growing a family, or they consider them blessings, to terminate that blessing is so extremely offensive to me. And beyond that, it's not what God intended. And we need to respect that, And we need to see the joy in life instead of perceiving in advance that something might be wrong. I've heard many, many stories about a doctor telling parents the child would be born with something like Down syndrome, or the child would be born with a physical disability, only to find out when the child is born, there is no disability because the picture was wrong, or the doctor's interpretation of the picture is wrong. They're humans too, but to be basing that off of a statement that could be wrong, and then beyond that, abortion is never the choice. It's never the option. You give life. You give hope. You give joy.
As we end our time together tonight, Chuck McDaniel, can you lead us in a Thanksgiving prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father, we come before you in a time where this country pauses to give thanks. I pray that we always give thanks, that we never take a back seat and say that this is all our doing, that we realize that you are God, that you set this world into motion, that all things work for the glory of you, and that we truly enjoy what you've given us, and that we have a spirit of thanksgiving in this time of thanksgiving. I pray in your son's name. Thank you for that gift. And amen.
Chet McDaniel, what a success story. What an inspiration. What a Thanksgiving gift this evening for all of us. Please keep up the great work. An honor to have you. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great Thanksgiving week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom and happy Thanksgiving.